Amen. Thank you, guys. Amen. Good to see everyone. Yes, it is, for sure. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, and let's pray. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate you so much for just allowing us the opportunity to live in America. Lord, forgive us of our sins, forgive our country. Lord, we just, the best way we know how, we lay our country at the foot of the cross and ask for mercy and grace. Lord, help us. Lord, I pray for our leaders in America from the very top to the bottom. Lord, we entering into a season of politics and whatsoever. We just ask that your will be done. We trust you. We know that you're in charge of everything as we move through the fall and the winter and into next year. Lord, I pray that you'll guide our steps as we prepare things to do, ministries to do in the fall for our church family. Lord, I pray for everyone traveling, going to see family and going on vacations. Lord, you keep them safe. You place your angels about them and keep them safe in their cars and planes and trains. Lord, we pray for everyone on the back of our bulletin. You know each need. You know each one. You know the hairs on our heads. And Lord, you know all of our needs. And help us this morning. Help me teach this. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody said amen. Amen. So 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verse 8. Here we go. It says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. And we're going to focus on this verse all morning. Above all. So Peter is saying, hey, pay attention here. This is very important. Above all, okay? Now, the Bible contains many verses on love, including the verse we just read. The instruction to prioritize love first appears in 1 Peter 1:22, and then it's emphasized later on in chapter 4, which we're in now. So let's read 1 Peter 1:22 real quickly. It says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, it says. Now here we have that word again, deeply. We're going to spend a little time looking at that word. In the Greek, that word deeply is used to describe the effort exerted by an athlete trying to win a race. That's what that word deeply in the Greek really means. In other words, it means we're going to try really hard. We're going to really focus in on this and we're going to give our best effort. Because in the Greek, this word means I'm really trying to win here. I'm making a big effort. I'm hustling. I'm paying attention. And I'm focused. That's really the deeper meaning of that Greek word, and that's what it means. Okay? In our opening verse we just read, Peter uses the phrase, above all, to stress the importance of this command. So here we are. Peter is saying, time out. Listen. Pay attention. We're going to do some work here. Let's focus. This is what we need to do. Basically, Peter is kind of warning them. Really, he's kind of warning them. And so when we put Peter's warning and we compare it to other verses about love, it's really obvious that Peter is saying that we, as believers, should give this our highest concern. We should put this way up there. And unfortunately, over the years, Christians have not always set a good example of love. Right? And this goes all the way back to the early church. They struggled with believers displaying unloving behavior. And we find ourselves today, you know, demonstrating unloving behavior. At work, you know, now in my job now, for you guys who know me, you know, I'm more in administration now, and which I kind of like. So I supervise like 10 counselors. And one of the young counselors is challenging, you know, right out of master's degree. And so it's been challenging for me. And this week, I just snapped at her. I said something, you know. And it hurt her feelings, and she walked out, and I felt bad. I felt really bad. I knew I'd done wrong, you know. It wasn't anything mean or nasty. It was just kind of put her in her place and for the others, which is total, you know, in management, most of you guys know, you should always, you know, correct privately, right? And y'all get it? And then praise people publicly. So I made a mistake. So I went to my office, prayed about it, and thought about it. And then I saw her walk into somebody else's office, another person. So I poked my head in, and I apologized to her sincerely in front of the other people. And she took it well. But later on, the people that, you know, I had done this in front of, come back and told me later that she had made a comment that she had never had anyone, like a boss or supervisor or anyone, ever apologize to her. And then she started crying to this one lady, and that it really touched her heart that I apologized. And I didn't do it for that, right? I was sincerely wrong, and I admitted it to her and to the other people. So sometimes we have to show love. We have to, right? We have to admit when we're wrong. You know, and me being, you know, they know I'm a pastor. I mean, I don't brag about it or talk about it, but they know I pastor a church. So that makes it, you know, even, you know what I mean? I mean, if you talk about how you're a Christian at work and then you go acting a fool, you know, that's like a double-edged thing, you know. So I definitely had to make that right, you know. And so in the message, you know, I want to remind you that, yes, we can acknowledge as Christians that we still live in this sinful body, right? We still have this natural sinful way. But on the other hand, we need to admit, everybody say admit. We all have to admit that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and dwells within us. So with the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, who hopefully we can listen to that quickly correct us, you know, we really have no excuse to not show love. We're all of us, me, you, anyone is. John goes even further by associating knowledge of God with love. I'm going to read a scripture to tighten your belt buckle, all right? Tighten your belt buckle. Here it goes. Here's the scripture. 1 John 4:8. John 4:8 says this. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now there it is, right? I didn't make this up. This is scripture. This is the Bible. This is the Holy Spirit revealing this truth to us. That's a strong verse, isn't it, guys? That's a strong verse. Now, some would say that's about as strong as a garlic milkshake. Sorry, but that's pretty strong, isn't it? So we're going to take a few minutes this morning and, you know, look at five basic points from our Bible in regards to how do we love each other deeply. Because that's the point here that Peter's talking about, loving people deeply. So there's five things that we want to talk about. So if you're taking notes, I'm gonna scurry along now. So if you're taking notes, here they are. Here's the five things. And this is how that we can show love deeply to each other, especially the household of the Lord. Okay? Number one, accept God's love. Accept God's love. Number two, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Number three, forgive faults. Forgive faults. Number four, honor others. Honor others. And number five, set love as your highest goal. Set love as your highest goal. All right, so let's take a look at these five. And it won't take that long. Okay? All right, five. First one, accept God's love. All right? The Apostle John described love as originating from God. He said, 1 John 4:10, this is what it says. It says, this is love. Okay, back up. What is love? Here's the answer. This is love. Not, everybody say not. Okay, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Okay, God is the source of all things good, especially love. Okay? Now, we're going to read this to you right here, okay? Humans can only demonstrate self-sacrificial love by accepting the love God showed humanity when He sent His Son as an atonement. This is basically John 3:16. Right here. Now, according to Focus on the Family, y'all remember them? According to Focus on the Family, from a psychological perspective, children born in a loving environment tend to thrive in life. If they had a healthy relationship with their earthly father and received His love, they thrived even more. When we're able to accept God's love, we respond by loving Him in return. And that lays the foundation for loving people rightly. Okay? And I'm going to say something. Here we go. Y'all know where I'm going. If you had a difficult time receiving love from your earthly father, you may have a difficult time receiving love from your heavenly father. When we find healing, when we seek out help, we study the Bible, we grow in the Lord, and maybe seek out help, and when we find healing from old father wounds, it helps open up the way for the Holy Spirit to teach us how to love ourselves so that then we can love others. I mean, Jesus is real clear about this, guys. He said, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you don't love yourself, it's very difficult to love others. And where we start with that is we learn and we trust and we obey and we receive God's love through His mercy and His grace. is love. And everybody listening? And we learn to love God, to receive His love. And when we do that, then we begin to understand our new identity in Christ. We begin to understand that He loves us. And He's full of grace and mercy, and Jesus died on the cross for us. And we're new creatures in Christ. That old Dallas died on the cross with Jesus. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And when we begin to understand the good news of the gospel, it is good news that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Then we're able to walk in victory. We're able to walk in victory that we sing. And when we're able to walk in victory, because we're maturing in Christ and we're learning all this, when we're able to walk in victory, then the Holy Spirit begins to produce fruit in our life. It's His fruit. He's producing it in our life. That takes us to number two. Oh. Number two. This is point two. Walk in the Spirit. Now, after highlighting the freedom in Christ, Paul instructs us not to misuse this freedom with selfish desires. He encourages us to serve each other, to serve the body of Christ, to serve the church, to serve God. All this is found in Galatians chapter 5. And Paul knew, everybody with me? Paul knew that we were going to struggle as Christians. The spirit and the flesh is conflicting desires. We all have it. I have it, you have it. Every once in a while, right? Little devil pops on this side and the angel pops up on this side. It's a goofy way to look at it, but y'all remember those days? We all struggle. We all have those fleshy desires. We try to keep them at bay and try to keep them down. You and me, we all struggle with that. Different levels, maybe. The solution to the struggle, really, is to walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit. We must try. Everybody hear me? We're not perfect. We must try. We must try our best, right, to adopt a daily lifestyle. A daily lifestyle of yielding to the Holy Spirit. To listening to the Holy Spirit. To pray. To listen. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us and comfort us. This is part of walking in the Spirit. And when we do this, the Holy Spirit produces these fruit in our life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. We're not ever going to get it right. We're not ever going to be perfect 100%. But as we do this, the Holy Spirit produces these fruit. And by walking in the Spirit, we're able to serve and love others. We're able to be a little more patient with people. A little more kind. Third point, whatever point it is. Point. Here's the next one. Forgive faults. Okay, in our main verse today, Peter stated, love covers a multitude of sins. It talks about this several times in the Bible, in Proverbs 10:12. Here's what Proverbs 10:12 says. It says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. You see, listen closely, everybody. As we walk in love, we should accept the imperfections of others. We should also forgive hurts and overlook faults. As I said earlier, none of us are perfect, And we all make mistakes. I mean, Jesus even said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Loving others entails having a kind attitude and being willing to show grace and mercy. Let me ask y'all a question, and I'm serious about this now. I hadn't been serious about it up to now. I'm just kidding. People say that to me, like I'm counseling. They say, "Oh, Dallas, let me be honest with you." "Oh, so you hadn't been honest so far?" You know, we all say those little dumb things, you know. But here it is. Ready? Be kind to people. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. Are you kind to yourself? I'm pausing because I really want you to think about this. Are you kind to yourself? Or do you treat yourself bad? Do you think that you deserve to be punished because of your past mistakes? What you've done, what was done to you? It's a serious question. If you do think that way, it's a lie. It's a lie. Don't believe that lie. Be kind to yourself. Okay? You don't deserve to be punished any longer. The good news is Jesus took that punishment for you on the cross. That's the good news. I want to encourage you this morning, be kind to yourself. You were bought with a great price. Jesus suffered and died so that you can walk in victory. Your past does not equal your future. It's the good news. So be kind and love people. It's part of doing to others as we would have them do unto us. Luke chapter 6, right? Here's the next point. Honor others. Honor others. Well, modern culture encourages us to put ourselves first, to be selfish. God calls us to honor others above ourselves. And I love this verse, Romans 12:10. Romans 12:10, it completely settles that matter. And here's what Romans 12:10 says. It says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." That's real clear to me. To honor someone is to show value, to show respect to someone. Treat him or her as significant, as valuable, is a great expression of genuine love. Sincere, genuine love. The last point. Set love as your highest goal. In our daily lives, love should be a fundamental quality in our relationship with others. I mean, Jesus identifies love as the distinguishing characteristic of His disciples. He did then, and He does now. James 13:34 and 35. It says, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's one of the great things I love about you guys, Pauline. Y'all genuinely love each other. Really. So let us prioritize true biblical sacrificial love, even in the face of faults, disagreements, and differences. So, Christians, followers of Christ at Pauline Baptist Church, in the Mercer Association, the Georgia Baptist Mission Board, the Southern Baptist Convention, all born-again Christian believers around the world are part of a large family. And really, and we all know this, we should behave as proper loving brothers and sisters. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you so much. Thank you for your word that it does encourage us. It corrects us. Sometimes it puts us in our place. But it's always loving us. Father, I pray this morning there's someone here that's never accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. I pray that they would make that decision this morning. And I'm not talking about trying to be religious or join a church or anything. It's just a personal decision within their heart to get saved, to get born again, to make sure they're going to go to heaven. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, believers are praying. If there's someone this morning you'd like to get saved, you'd like to give your life to Christ, just look up and raise your hand at me and I'll be glad to pray with you. You can come down to this altar if you'd like and I'd love to pray with you. One of the men here would love to pray with you and we can settle that today. You hear this morning or in the sound of my voice, if you want to get saved, just pray with me right now. Do it right now wherever you're at. Just say this prayer. God, the best way I know how, I ask you to come into my heart. I place my faith in Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. That he died and rose for me. I repent of my sins. Save me, Jesus. From this day forward, I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.